is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding today. All who touched it were healed. You remember a few weeks ago we talked about faith and how faith is a vital component of healing. It requires faith on our part in order for the healing to occur. And when Jesus went to his hometown, the people had no faith, and therefore he was unable to do any healing. Well, it sure feels like summer is going by quickly. Would you agree? I can't believe we're already towards the end of July. And our daughter Emily has been spending the summer with us and will be leaving in a few weeks to begin her life in Northern Virginia. And this week a prayer was answered as she accepted another job, and that will give her a full-time job now with benefits. And then on the 27th, she'll be moving into her new apartment in Fairfax and setting up housekeeping and getting ready to start her job. And then she and Jackson will be married in December. That's quite a bit to happen in a few short months, Em. We are very happy for you. I hope I survive it. So anyway, for the next few weeks, Terry and I are going to be going back and forth to Virginia. So if you call and I don't answer, please leave a message and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. But new beginnings, starting off on something new in life. It's always a time of nervous anticipation and excitement. Our college-bound graduates, high school graduates, are also preparing to begin something new. And we need to be praying for them as well. Charlie, when do you leave? 17th? 17th of August. We need to be praying for Charlie. There's a lot of influences on our young people in a college environment, and we have some wonderful young high school graduates, and we need to pray for them as they begin this new chapter. So, this whole service talks about rest and relaxation, and here's all this stuff that's happening in just the next few weeks and the next month, and it's going to be a busy time for many of us. And maybe it's because of this that Jesus' words to his disciples resonated with me this morning. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while. That sure sounds nice. Well, today's text describes a time where Jesus' ministry has gained in popularity. You may notice my title, Famous Like a Rock Star. Famous like a rock star. Everywhere he goes, he's recognized. And it's become difficult to even find a time where they can eat a meal. The disciples, you remember, have been out on their own. Jesus commissioned them and empowered them and sent them out. And now they've returned and given an account and a report of all that they have done. And Jesus tells them, it's time to rest. So they depart in a boat to what they think will be a deserted place, but they are recognized and followed. Now, I often imagine what my reaction would have been If I were looking for a quiet place to get away from it all, and when I get there, there's a huge crowd of people, I think I may feel things like despair, maybe even a little anger. I might just turn around and look for a different place to go, or maybe even go into hiding. But not Jesus. He gets out of the boat, he sees this great crowd before him, and he sees something else. You see, Jesus doesn't just see our physical appearance, he sees into our hearts. And he sees the people and the anguish and the suffering, and he likens them to a sheep without a shepherd. And the scripture says he has compassion on them. Now, Jesus doesn't get angry like I might do or turn away. Instead, he moves into the crowd and he begins to teach them. Teaching others, I think, is one of the highest callings we can have in life. And if you look at it, just about every profession has some element of teaching. But teachers teach all the time. And Jesus was a teacher. Beyond all the excitement that was created from his miracles, Jesus was first a teacher. And from what I've observed, teaching requires selfless devotion, endless preparation, and thankless days where you wonder if anyone even notices the amount of effort that you put in. And I think it would be easy to get burned out as a teacher. Like many that teach, I think Jesus also grew frustrated at the times where he didn't receive any sort of response from those that he tried to teach. How despite his teaching, despite his living example of compassion and love and healing, everyone simply wanted more. This particular part of the scripture is one of the few that appear in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Gospel of John captures some of that frustration that Jesus felt. So following the miraculous healing of the 5,000, Jesus does manage to get away for a short time to the mountaintop to pray. It's late in the day and into the evening. You recall he was probably grieving and praying for John the Baptist, who he has just learned has been killed. And then he joins the others while they are already at sea in a boat. And how does he do it? He walks on the water. And being mistaken by his disciples as a ghost, Jesus comforts them and joins them. Well, eventually they arrive, as the scripture says, in a place called Gennesaret. But even then the people pursue him. And Jesus and his disciples find little rest. In John's version of events, though, as the people gather around Jesus, he once again sees into their hearts. And this is what he tells them. Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill in loaves. The people have had a free lunch. And they liked it. And now they want more. Jesus responds instead by doing some more teaching. And the scripture said it is very difficult teaching. Verse 66 tells us what happens. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. You see, there's things that are more important than telling people what they want to hear. Jesus knew that. Jesus even turned to the 12 and he asked them, "Do you also wish to go away?" And I love Simon Peter's answer. He says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Well, each of us must eventually answer that question for ourselves. Are we going to keep going when being a Christian becomes difficult or the going gets tough? When walking in faith is unpopular with our friends or with society or becomes uncomfortable for us? The path we are called to take is not an easy one. And yes, we will probably lose friends, maybe even family members. For many people, Jesus' message is just fine on a full stomach, as long as we can meet Jesus on our terms. Well, this past week, I attended a panel discussion that was hosted by Interfaith Human Services. And yes, they fed us, but it wasn't fishes and loaves. But they had several people from across the county come and talk to us about an organization called the Center County Reentry Coalition. And it's a program that aids incarcerated people on their return into the community. We heard from County Commissioner Mike Pipe. We heard from Chris Schell, who's the warden of the Center County Correctional Facility. And we heard from some of the county volunteers and staff. We also heard from fellow inmates, or former inmates, and in particular from a gentleman named Mark Fraley. He founded an organization called the Pennsylvania Prison Society, at least the local chapter. And one of the prisoners shared something that really hit home with me. He said that there are three basic things that people need in order to remain out of prison. And the very first one was the need to decide for themselves whether they were willing to make the effort to stay out. First and foremost, they have to want it. Not unlike teaching young children. The second and third ones were also important. Having someone that cares enough to help them. And third, having and growing a faith relationship. This gentleman shared with us that he had heard hundreds of speakers, attended numerous seminars, but it really just boiled down to these three things. And it all begins with a personal decision. If someone doesn't care and won't respond to the help that they receive, then there's not much chance that they'll make it. They'll fall back into the previous patterns of their lives and end up contributing to what is a 5-year recidivism rate of about 65% in this country. To truly live our faith is not unlike this. Yes, we are saved by God's grace, but we must also make a decision as to whether we will accept that grace and respond to God's call to live our lives differently from what the world dictates. And we don't have to do it alone, because we too need others to care for us and support us and invest in us. And we too must remain diligent in seeking opportunities to grow in our faith. But when it comes to the time, we need to see the great crowds before us. We need to be able to see the pain and the suffering, the loneliness and the regret of those that are imprisoned, to be like Jesus and to have compassion on them. And it is something that does not come naturally. We must be taught. Just as Jesus spent so much time and put so much emphasis on teaching his disciples and all those that followed him, we too must teach and learn and guide those that follow us. Christian education, both for children and youth and adults, is one of the ways that the church enables us to avoid being conformed to this world by the transforming and renewing of our minds. If that sounds familiar, it's actually Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I often worry about the church, not just this church, but all churches. I learned a fact this last summer that startled me. Did you know that the majority of the United Church of Christ churches in the Penn Central Conference do not have a children's ministry program? And we have one, but I would characterize it as sometimes on life support. There are Sundays when our teachers work hard to prepare a lesson. Jean Brooks even bakes a pan of sweet rolls every Sunday, which I appreciate. But then one child comes, or maybe two, and some Sunday no one comes. What are the odds these children will grow up to be faithful Christians? Now, I know there's certainly more to being a Christian than attending Sunday school and a worship service, but coming together as a community of believers is so important. Regularly hearing God's word, asking questions, studying and praying together with our teachers, our parents, and our grandparents. This is how a child's faith develops and grows. And believe it or not, it's the same way our faith grows as well. Our children watch us and they learn from us. Yes, they learn from what we tell them, but they learn even more from what we show them. We are not simply to love Christ, but also to grow into Christ. An immature faith, a childlike faith, is not going to be enough. When the trials and the crises of life overwhelm us, because they will come. So let us take Jesus and his disciples as our models in learning and teaching, in growing closer to Christ, in seeing him and his way more clearly. And after we have worked hard, to also remember that we need to teach our young people how to rest. Maybe we need to relearn how to do that ourselves. You know, God gave us the Sabbath for a purpose, and it is important to our health, not just our spiritual health, but our physical health. And it's important to the well-being of our children to model this for them. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the joy we feel gathered here as your body. We thank you and praise you for Chase and for his family, for his gift of music, and for his willingness to share it with us. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, in our day-to-day walk to focus on you, to take up our cross daily, and to walk with you. And Lord, we pray for times of rest when we can refresh ourselves and enter again with enthusiasm into doing your work in this world. Amen.